I sold my car on Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give up.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, one to go, and plenty more of this big show as we have a lot planned for you, including Calvin Murphy at 3:30. That should be great to have my man Murph on the show, kicking around with him, getting ready for basketball season. Yes, you guys, basketball season. I know you know that I can then come out of the dungeon and concentrate fully on a sport that people will care about instead of just the offseason when only I care about. I was going to ask you guys if you saw this. This is crazy and from a lot of different aspects because, one, we know Bill Belichick doesn't normally like to be outspoken and he doesn't like to talk a lot. And he doesn't like to give away any secrets. But, two, because it involves your Houston Texans, he has a show that he does in New England and he broke down the big play to Chris Hogan that really led them down the field for the final drive against the Texans. And he said it all stemmed from a play earlier in the game in which the secondary was playing zone and Andre Howell gave too much pad to Hogan on a curl route and Jonathan Joseph played really too tight on the inside, allowing the outside out to be thrown to Hogan. When the play was over, Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, could hear in plain earshot Hal and Joseph describing the play and saying, next time, you're going to go over the top, meaning Hal, and I'm going to go in towards the sideline, forcing him to the middle of the field. Because of that, McDaniels' in-game adjustments, as Belichick gives him credit for, called the play again when they needed it, and Hogan faked the inside curl. Both defensive backs went towards the sideline. He then turned it into a curl and out and up, went straight up the field and started veering towards the left sideline, wide open, took it all the way down inside the 20.
Makes me sad.
Yeah, so they said next time, and we have it posted on our now on our ESPN 97.5 Twitter page and on ESPN975.com. But, yeah, based on the fact that they were loud and McDaniel heard it, McDaniels put it in the playbook in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, and turned it into a pretty big play when they needed it.
So Troy texted the show that was asking about the Astros rotation. We actually covered that in the second hour, Troy, so we won't beat a dead horse. And
ESPN975.com, yeah. Go to the podcast section.
And we break it down for you, give you actually what we think the Red Sox will be.
Yep.
And yeah, but it looks promising if they decide to use Sale in the series like Joel is suggesting they might, that could be good news.
Yeah.
Find out. I found it interesting that we were talking about lineups and so forth for the Astros and you mentioning, you know, some people were putting out their projected lineups. And I remember reading the
playoff roster. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember also reading how the Astros are interested in carrying a third catcher. And it would make sense because how bad they are at throwing out runners and defensively late in games when the pressure's on and maybe you want to make a double switch in that you're going to bring in a reliever if there's somebody on base, but you could also bring in a catcher who could help control that base runner, have the potential to throw him out. So I'm thinking, yeah, that makes sense that you have McCann and you have Gattis, but then Stassi or Centeno would be that third catcher that could come in and be almost a defensive replacement. But, dude, I looked up the stats for these guys defensively throwing out runners. They're all garbage.
Yeah.
I would have thought Stassi and Centeno would have been better. Centeno is the worst of the four. So I think by default, if you're just looking for a guy to throw runners out, it's Max Stassi. But looking at these numbers, what it tells me is, how much of it is on these catchers and how much is it on this pitching staff to get better at holding runners? Because right now, Max Stassi is the best of the four at 33.3%. He's thrown out one of three stolen base attempts. Second is Brian McCann at 13.3%. That is, Nick could throw out more than that. He's thrown out
probably
eight of 60 stolen base attempts. Brian McCann has thrown out eight runners in 60. Evan Gattis, 4-38 for a whopping 10.5%. And Centeno is last. He's thrown out one of 12 stolen base attempts for an 8.3% caught stealing percentage. It's all garbage.
You can get away with that in the regular season, you know, especially with the way the lineup's hitting and everything else. But come playoff time, with that, and you make a good point. Maybe it's time for Brent Strom to spend a little time with the relievers to say, hey, guys, I know you're focused on delivering the pitch and throwing the right pitch at the right spot, but pay a little bit more attention to the guys on base, because every run's going to be hyper important and every inning is going to be highly magnified with every play being scrutinized because it's the playoffs, and you got to pay attention to these things, because I do think you're right. To some degree, it's on the pitchers as well as the catchers, but overall, we've highlighted it on this show. The catching on this team is probably the biggest weakness that they have from a defensive perspective. They just can't throw anybody out.
I mean, I started noticing it in May, and I really wasn't thinking about playoffs until end of June, beginning of July, and that's when I started thinking, you know what? This team's probably going to make the playoffs. This could be the thing that, because I'm watching a couple of years ago when you watch Kansas City run ragged on everyone in the playoffs. You look at that and you think, man, if you can't throw out would-be base stealers and you end up facing a team with some team speed,
yeah,
like the Dodgers, they can run a little bit. They've got some young. I mean, it could get ugly. You hope it doesn't turn into that. But just to give you an idea, if you go and look at the top 20 in Major League Baseball catchers, number 20 throws out 36.2% of the base stealers, and that's Sandy Leon of the Red Sox. That's number 20.
Yep.
So, yeah, your guy, Brian McCann, doesn't even crack like the top. I mean, it's bad, dude. It's really bad. So, it's not even the top 50.
He's not exactly throwing McCann balls to second base.
No. It is probably one of their biggest weaknesses. Their second biggest for me being the fact that this team is a horrible base running team, and they need to get better at running the bases. They need to stop getting picked off. They're running through stop signs and the deeks and all that. But if I see one more Astro get picked off, I'm going to lose my mind. That's the two biggest weaknesses for this team going into the playoffs.
The one that sticks out in my mind is Bregman less than two out second base the other night, where you don't get picked off a second base with less than two outs.
Altuve gets picked off. I mean, Springer has gotten picked off quite a bit. Yep. It drives me nuts. Correa will fall asleep out there. You want to see these guys get better at running the bases. They need to get better at protecting the base paths. But if that's the worst things you got going into the playoffs, look, good for them.
They also need to take advantage of base running, because they have the two best base, or two of the three best base stealers in the American League on their roster with Maben and Altuve, and they need to take advantage of that. So at the same time that they're trying to take advantage of that, they also got to protect the base paths to prevent a lot of the stolen bases that can give cheap runs to teams, or manufactured runs, depending on who scores them. They're not cheap when the Astros do it, of course.
Yeah. I want to hear about this Mello thing.
Yeah, so it's interesting that Mello, now a member of the Thunder after Media Day, went on Sirius XM Radio, and he had some pretty interesting thoughts about being traded in the offseason and who he potentially could have been traded to.
Deal was done with Houston early. Then for some reason, whatever happened behind the scenes, it didn't go through, it didn't fall through. Then we had to really start paying attention and thinking about other options. But then, believe it or not, I felt like I was going to be back in training camp. I was going to show up to media day in New York. Like, me and my team, you know, we sat down maybe Friday night and was like, man, let's prepare for going back to media day on Monday and training camp that week. And then we got the call. And they said, would you open it up to OKC? I was like, yeah, at this point, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, because he also said on draft night, he and Paul George were both going to Cleveland, and that they were texting each other and in contact with each other leading up to the fact that then that fell through. But he said then he and Paul George continued to keep dialogue going text-wise throughout the offseason. So he had two different teams in which deals fell through. And the reason why he said he finally waived his no trade for Oklahoma City was that he didn't think it would be beneficial to come back on media day after everything that had gone down in the offseason, and having dealt with all of that. It would have been unfair for him, the organization, the Knicks, and everybody involved, which I think makes sense. But obviously the biggest part of all of that is there was a deal done with Houston and then it wasn't. One, why? Two, who was involved in that deal? And
yeah,
where,
that
who
would
was
be,
the third team? Those would be interesting tidbits.
I would love to know that. Yeah, because, you know, you heard the same, a similar story coming out of baseball with the Astros and having a deal done at the last second and getting nixed by, was it the
Baltimore.
Orioles? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's interesting stuff.
Typical Houston sports story.
We'll see what we can find
Snake
out.
Bit.
But yeah, again, close but no cigar. The
Maybe
case
Murph
of Carmelo
knows.
Anthony. I'm going to go no on that one, but you never know because Murph is a Hall of Famer and he was at the Hall of Fame ceremonies and he knows big time people in big time positions.
I
know we'll be able to ask him.
Yeah, that's awesome. 3:30. Yeah. Next, I want to ask you how far would you go to make sure Lisa's comfortable? I want to ask you that. We'll do that next.
Oh boy. All right, we'll be back with a whole lot more of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. We got one segment here, then we've got Calvin Murphy after the break. That should be great. Then we've got, what are we going to do on the final segment? We're going to hit some picks.
Yep.
Because you're going to be out tomorrow, so we're going to hit some college and pro picks. The Nick picks are going to be solid. Nick, you're going to be solid as a Hugh Hefner 1 minute affair with your picks, the Nick picks.
I'm ready.
So I saw this story on Barstool today, and it's this dude at an airport who gave up his shoes to his, or he swapped shoes with his wife. All right. His wife was wearing heels, and apparently they were hurting her feet. So he decides he'd swap shoes with her. So he puts on her heels, she puts on his sandals. And they just chill at the airport, and they're waiting on their flight or whatever goes on.
Why did
on.
They do this?
Because her feet hurt.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, we got a text. Look, oh, let me guess, Barry, you're going to do the story about the guy that trades his shoes with his wife. Hashtag already done. Hashtag unfiltered. Hashtag idiot. It's a story that everyone's going to talk about. It's on a major website. This story isn't just for unfiltered. My God, do you think people listen like all day? Like, some people get in their car now, and they can't be in their car when Unfiltered was on. Dude, trust me, a lot of people are going to be hearing this story for the first time, okay?
Although I give you props for listening that long. I mean, you've been listening since Unfiltered?
Good Lord.
God, you've been
and
you're making money.
LFA?
I'm saying, are you rich? How are you able to do that?
Hashtag our opinions matter, too.
My
people want to hear what we think as well as everybody else. So
I'm saying, like, yeah, there's, believe it or not, some people listen to Unfiltered that don't listen to this show and vice versa. Some people just tune in for this show and not Unfiltered. It happens.
Example, Gilbert. He'll never call
Gilbert
into this show.
No. Gilbert hates this show.
Never.
Actually, he's just asleep. I don't even know if he hates it. He just falls asleep.
Anyways.
So anyways, this dude trades his shoes with his wife. My question is, I don't even care about the story as much. He does look kind of like a, you know, different kind of fella wearing his high heels and but whatever. I'm not here to judge. But he does for his wife. Would you do something like that for Lisa? How far would you go for Lisa?
You want to know how far?
Yeah.
To the gift shop where I'd find some slippers or something. But there ain't no heels that I'm going to be wearing no matter how bad her dogs are barking. We can find... And I know there's plenty of dogs barking, Nick, but I beat you to that one. But I would go to the gift shop. I'd find some fuzzy slippers or something. There had to be some alternative, but I ain't putting the heels on.
Yeah, my thing is why put them on? How about I just hold them? I'll walk around barefoot. I'll carry your heels for you if your feet hurt.
Yeah, I'll do that.
I'll carry your purse for you.
All
if
day.
If you're like, oh, this purse, I shouldn't have. Okay, no problem. I've done that before where we've been somewhere and my wife's got new heels and she's like, my feet hurt. I'm like, well, give them to me. I'll carry them. I'll take them back to the truck. I'll go. But she's smart enough, my wife.
Yep.
She's smart enough to know that if she's got new shoes, she's bringing some flats with her or something
Lisa
else.
Does the same thing.
I was going to say.
Just in case.
Yep. That invention where they like put like women's flats in a vending machine kind of thing.
That's smart.
That's genius.
That's real smart.
Because that's what I would look for first. I've seen that quite a bit at airports.
The same way they get the guys with the vending machine at the airport with the Bose, the little mini Bose headphones and all the things that you might spend money on. No question that any woman that has ever worn heels is going to go get some flats, and if they have them there, they'll buy them. But that's what I'm saying. I'm not wearing them, but I'll carry them. I've carried her purse. I've gone to the grocery store and bought feminine hygiene products that she needed. I'm fine with all of that, but when it comes down to me putting some heels, that ain't happening.
Well, yeah, I don't understand why he had to put them on. Are they really strict? Because it looks like it wasn't in here in America. I don't know where it was. It looked like it might have been in China. So if they is there like a strict thing in China where if you're inside? He was at a hospital. Excuse me. So they're at a hospital. Are they real strict about that? Where you're like, yeah, you gotta have on shoes.
I know they're strict about a lot of things when we went to China, but I didn't know it was involving shoes.
Yeah, it's I'll hold them. But why don't you just take them off and sit there? Why do you have to swap shoes?
Because like they're in China, they're strict on the internet. They'll tell you what you can and can't do.
So they don't have porn in China?
No.
Ooh.
No, they can shut you down on a lot on the internet.
I'm out with China. I'll never visit China. Yeah. Well, it might save me on some data usage, but that's crazy. Yeah, I'll hold the shoes. I'll hold the purse. I'll carry your luggage, even though
you've
packed
too much. Have you done
the
grocery store thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course. Like, even with my ex-wife, with girlfriends.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, that never embarrassed me. Buying condoms doesn't embarrass me. Stuff like that doesn't embarrass me. I mean, hell, look at the stuff I come on this show and talk about. I don't get embarrassed too easy, but I'm just not putting them on. I'll hold them, wear them, help you take them off, get you some new shoes. I'll go to the store. Like if we were just waiting, I'd be like, you know what? I'll run to Target. I'll be back in a minute. What size do you wear? I'll bring you some Chucks or something. You know what I'm saying? But nah, I'm not. I mean, there's no reason to put them on. Maybe he was just living out something else. He's like, well, now's my chance.
I was going to say, unless it's Halloween, and even then, I'm not wearing the heels. But there's not a chance. Now, Nick, you may be a guy that, you know, think that they improve and enhance the look of your calves. I
would not wear no heels.
They do make your calves look good. No, if that is important to you, it's something to consider.
Okay.
They will enhance your calf muscle definition.
I think you're just trying to get him to wear some heels.
Oh, first of all, you know that's not going to happen.
I would like to see Joel's tight ass in a pair of heels.
Dude, he would crush those heels.
He really would.
In many ways, I would, yes, unless they were heavy duty. But at the same time, this goes back, too, to the same guy that we were talking about that sits when he pees in the middle of the night, Brian Barrett, when we were having internet problems today. He's like, dude, I love the your gear and your shirt and your shorts. He goes, but your shorts, they're way too long. And I go, they're to the knee. That's where they're supposed to go. He goes, no, I'm thinking mid-thigh. So the same guy that sits mid-thigh. When he pees in the middle of it, unless you're a cross-country or a marathon runner,
I love that he told
who
him
the
that.
Hell is wearing their shorts mid-thigh?
Because I can see
mid-thigh.
Barrett wear shorts mid-thigh and not give a damn.
Barrett probably has every version of Chubbies that were ever made. You know what those are?
No.
Chubby shorts? Their slogan is skies out, thighs out, and they're mid-thigh or higher shorts. I have a pair. I have two. Okay, I have two pairs. What can I say? I look sexy.
Or do you run in the American flag ones?
Those American flag ones are the Chubbies.
Yeah.
Those are one pair of them that I wore on 4th of July.
I think you should just leave it for a one time a year holiday.
No, I'm going to wear them up here Monday so you can see my sweet thighs.
I'm going to wear my Astros jersey.
NASCAR Johnny said, I listen all day on and off, and I miss the shoe story. That dude needs to quit hating. Thank you, NASCAR Johnny.
We got a lot of haters. You. Not a lot, but we interspice a lot of haters with a lot of good interaction on
social this guy
media.
Look, I drive a tractor all day, so I listen all day. All great shows in their own way. Yeah, that's
those,
the point
for those of you who are listening like on a, like on a, in, a, in a car, you're on a tractor, you're in a truck, you're a truck driver. I get it,
mailman, you, beer
yeah,
route.
I but get even that. This guy, look, I drive 11 hours a day. I get to hear three consecutive 97.5 shows each day. I hear the same stories all day, but enjoy hearing the different takes
that's
and commentary on them.
See, that's what I said.
That dude's an idiot is how he ended it. Thank you, sir. And that's my point. And yeah, to what Joel was saying, we all have a different spin or a different version. Like the other day when we did the woman slapping her man because she was masturbating, there was the jokes that I wrote that I'm sure no one did for that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. No one owns a story. That would be like, well, ABC News reported that Trump won the election, so no one else can. That's ridiculous.
And then, Nick, that pounding you were hearing, it was during a break, was Salisbury and I fighting over the dad jokes that we were going to use on the next story we were going to talk about. So that's how it goes down around here.
Yeah, y'all share dad jokes.
It's like a tug of war.
They have a dad joke book that they go through. This guy brings up a great point. Why wear the heels if they're going to hurt your feet, stupid women? Okay, well, that's a little far. Because I know I've got some dress shoes that I wear sometimes where I'm like, oh, my God, I shouldn't have wore these.
It's the old Fernando on Saturday Night Live Billy Crystal bit. But it's better to look good than to feel good. And I guarantee you 9 out of 10 women are going to tell you that. They don't care what they feel like. If they think that they look good, wearing them. That's just, and you know what? You guys should feel happy about that because you're going to be a lot more turned on by a chick wearing some sexy heels or shoes than they are some flats with some little bows on them. And you're just like, meh, or Chuck Taylor.
I'm okay with the flats. Just keep it moving. Be mobile.
That's what I'm saying. Jesse from Spring wants to know, would any of you guys marry a bunny that had slept with Hugh Hefner?
I wouldn't marry her.
I would.
I don't know about
a Playboy bunny? If you're single, if I'm single, I mean, I'm married now,
so I
would.
She was like cleaning.
I've got the love of my life now, so I don't need that.
Is she the cleaner?
Like Joel. I do too.
Yes. It's 324.
Was she the cleaner?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, where were you in the rotation? Were you like the first one that went without the condom or anything? Were you second?
Did you go in after somebody?
Yeah, or did you have to go clean it up?
Yeah.
Like Holly's house.
Speaking of that, because of the quotes we had from Kendra Wilkinson's memoir, she came out with a whole lot more involving the cleaner. I'm going to retweet those at Pac-Man Joel because we might not have a chance to get to those, but they are worth the read. She has since taken them down, so I have found the article where they are still up. Check that out, because to say that there's a little love-hate going on between the three that were in the reality show with Hugh at the end, it's an understatement.
Yeah, it gets pretty bad. And thank you to those that are texting me like, hey, we like you guys. We like the show.
It's different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We appreciate it. I don't want to read everybody because then it just sounds like we're tooting our own horn.
You're the live-in that's starting the process and then finishing it, cleaning
it up? No, I'm just saying, like, people are like, hey, don't worry, guys. We've heard the story, but it's all different takes. So I just wanted to get that out. Thank you, guys.
All righty. Calvin Murphy's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk basketball and a whole lot more. Before that, I want to tell you about the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program, a fantastic program here in the Houston area, and it's all because of great Houstonians like yourself that can help this program continue to be successful and help kids get a second chance at an education. How, you may ask? Well, it's easy. If you have a vehicle that's laying around, maybe it's working, maybe it's not, maybe in Harvey it was damaged beyond belief and you just need to get it off your property, well, all you got to do is call 713-225-4226 or HoustonCarsForKids.com. Working or not, all you do is tell them where you live, tell them what you got. They come to you, they tow it away, they do the paperwork, you get a tax deduction, and if you mention ESPN 97.5, you also get a $50 gift card, and that's when the process really begins, because they turn your donation into resources. So maybe it's a kid that needs a warm meal and is hungry and he can't think at school because he's focused on food, or maybe it's eyeglasses, or bus fare, or book money. All those things can be taken care of because of your donations, and the program works, and it continues to work because of you. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, welcoming in now a man that's more like a family member than a friend. The man, the myth, the legend that is Calvin Murphy, the Hall of Famer, I might add. Murph, a lot of stuff that we have to get to with you because you were a topic of conversation last week, from socks to suits. But before we get to all that, you are a very prestigious man. As I mentioned, a Hall of Famer. How many times were you at the Playboy Mansion in your life?
Big fella. So much has been mentioned, I don't know how many.
Wow. But you can verify that you have been present and accounted for at the mansion.
I've been there.
That's all I need, my man. That is impressive in itself.
I already want to live your life, Murph. I already want it, just based off of that.
That is impressive stuff. But I knew that from you. I expect that from you. All right, so Murph, the conversation last week started because we were talking about socks and shoes and games and guys playing it. And I said, Murph played and wore 9 pairs of socks. And the guys were trying to kind of envision that and go through all that. And I said, you know what, I'll get Murph on. And you happen to be doing a speaking engagement. But, you know, I said, I promised I'm going to stay true to my word. We're going to get you on. But truth or not, you played in nine pairs of socks.
Well, unfortunately, Joe, but you're wrong. I'm only eight.
Oh, eight. Close enough.
I knew it was a lie.
No, you know, I wore nine pairs of socks.
Thank you.
And but see, you got to remember, Joe, back during my day,
yep.
We didn't have socks that were manufactured for the NBA players. We had to buy them off, you know, buy them right out of the dime store.
Uh-huh.
So they would be like what you would call rock. Get wet and mat together and make one big thick sock.
Okay.
You know, and then I played in those canvas sneakers that you know that spread.
Yep.
So they were a comfortable shoe. But yeah, I did wear nine pair, but I couldn't wear nine pair that they manufactured for the NBA players today. No way.
Okay, so Murph, would that make you about 5'9" and a half?
You know, nobody else can say that to me but you, Joe.
Well, we were talking about that because you're talking, we're not talking the sweat socks, as you mentioned, but it did kind of make you taller, didn't it?
No, get out of here. Did not.
I always thought.
And I'm 5'9" and a half, by the way.
Well, that's what I said. So with the socks, I'll give you 5'10". How about that?
Well, I'll take it, but it's not true.
Okay.
Murph, when you see the shoes nowadays and some of the technology they have, does it just make you shake your head when you talk about the fact that you used to play in just plain old canvas shoes back in the day?
You know, it's interesting to note, I was one of the first original endorsers of Nike. We would call the Supreme Court.
I had the poster, Murph. I don't want to date you, but I had the poster.
And they're the first ones to make a mold of our foot to fit their shoe. And when we first got that, I couldn't play in them because, you know, I'm kind of pigeon-toed, and I couldn't move my toes. So, you know, the old canvas fit me well, but the new shoe today is so technology far advanced that the players today couldn't play in anything else. But
Murph, producer Nick's got a question for you.
Yeah, sure. So who wore those suits first? Would you make the argument that you wore those flashy suits before bless his heart, Craig Sager did, or would you argue that Craig Sager wore those suits first?
Well, let me say this, okay? Craig Sager, who was, you know, one of the greatest guys I ever got to meet, came to a Rocket game one night, and I was wearing a silvery grayish suit. That Joe said, told me almost blinded him.
Yes, I did say that.
And the next game that he did nationally, he wore a suit identical to it. He got one just like it, and his people made him take it off at halftime. But then the legend of Sager began because then, you know, they got so many comments about it that he just started being who he is. And I'll tell you what, he did a wonderful job at it. But, you know, my flavor is a little different than his. You know, he had his own style, but the Murph, it can't be duplicated.
Now, Murph, what led to you getting these flamboyant and flashy suits? Because some of them are out there. I mean, like, there's some crazy stuff. Like, I asked Joel, I was like, does he look in the mirror and be like, yeah. And then there's flames and studs.
Murph, come on. You know, I used to name them from Grandma's Tablecloth to Hell's Angels on the leather one to the Spaceman with there was a lot of them.
Where did it all begin? Where did it all start?
Well, first of all, let me say this to you. There's been some suits that I wouldn't wear.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Is there anything you won't wear? But I'm glad to know there's a limit.
But it all started me walking into the mall one day and ran into Valente's, which is the clothing store. And a gentleman in there, Heidi, who owns it, recognized me and knew that I was on TV. And I was trying to buy some suits for TV. And he told me, well, look. What we can do is if you wear my suits, I'll let you have them free. I say, shoot, if it's free, give me three. So from that point on, the rest is history. He's done everything to the point where he got excited about what was going on, and then he started getting me suits on his own that he wanted me to wear. And I would wear the suit, and he would say, nah, I didn't like that. Don't wear that anymore, and get me another one. And I tell you, I must have 200 suits in my closet that I wore maybe one time.
First of all, you're a damn liar, but you make me look good because I said that story. If it's free, give me three. That's a Murphism. But at the same time, I know you got more than 200 suits because I know when you were waiting for your house to be built and you had to stay in temporary housing, they had to create a separate wing just for all them damn suits. So you ain't lying when you say you wear a different one every night, but I know you got more than 200.
No, I said I got 200 that I wore one time. I got suits that I wore more than one time.
Okay.
So, you know, I got a bunch of suits. And what I'm going to do for you, Joby, is I'm going to count them. I have no idea, really. But the fact of the matter is that Heidi, who owns Valente's of West Oaks, he's into this. He enjoys dressing me. And there's been times where he sent me stuff that I put on for the first time. When I got to the arena, I said, oh, my God, I'm in trouble with this one.
What is that? What's one you've turned down, Murph? What's a suit? What did it have on it where you were like, you know what? I'm not wearing that. Because I'm dying to know what that limit is.
Well, I'm going to have to show you, but Bozo the Clown had nothing on me.
Nice.
Now, Murph, be honest, because I know there's times that we've talked about it over the years, and you're like, you know, it's either a big game, there was a certain circumstance, I'm going to have to tone down the Murph tonight. I'm going to go straight blue or straight black. I'm going to go business.
Well, you know, I name my suits, Joby, depending on the occasion. You know, the TV suits, you know, that's my flavor. When I go into the business world, those are my Caucasian suits. You know how I do it. And then when I go to church, you know, those are my God, please be with me suits. So I got a bunch of suits depending on the occasion I go to.
Now, you do know I name them too, and my names are different than yours, but.
Hey, this is a family show, Jeffy. Right.
So we'll leave those there. But I did mention on the show that, like, at Valente at West Oaks Mall, you mentioned Hottie's a good friend of both of ours, but he actually now does what was on the Murph, and he does the mannequins with the outfits you're going to wear for the week. But I told you that we're going to get those fat heads that they wave behind the basket in basketball games. And I know it's hard to think of your head being inflated or big, but we're going to get one for each of those mannequins so that they can figure out, if they don't already know, who's in the window and what you're wearing.
You know, and that's a good point. I've talked to Heidi about that. You know, I like people to guess what I'm going to wear. I want them to come and find out. So I'm going to talk to him about, you know, when you get the suits in, to stop putting them in the window. You can sell them after I wear them. That type thing.
See, that's awesome. I mean, what's on the Murph is one thing, but what he's going to wear, that's a complete... Because you used to threaten me almost with what was coming up next, and I would be scared to death of what you might debut.
But let me tell you this, Joe. I'm taking it to another level this year. I want you to know that.
So that at least lets people know what my next question was, to make sure everybody's happy knowing you're going to be back again. So that's great. You're going to be on AT&T Sportsnet. Taking it to another level is no longer my concern. I think you should go shorts.
I think
you should go with 9 pairs of socks, dress socks. I think you should go with shorts. And that's the hip thing with a blazer. And then you can make it, maybe you'll get an outlet where you can plug one in.
Hey, Joe, you shouldn't have told me that. You know what? That's a good idea. Right around the playoffs this coming year, I'm going to get Heidi to get me a suit that has shorts come to the knees.
Yep.
And I'm going to make it really flamboyant. I'm going to call it the Joby.
I love it.
I was good with all of that until there. I was good with all that until there. Now, you know, Draymond Green wore the shorts with the suit at the NBA Players Awards.
That was garbage. That was pure garbage. Everybody can't wear that flavor. I saw him. I'm talking about doing something that's going to be, internationally known.
Okay.
I like it.
Not something that you just throw on and hope people like it. This is going to be a whole year in the making, Joby. You're going to be proud of me, Chief.
I'm always proud of you. I think around the holidays, you should just have one that plugs in with a bunch of lights on it, too. I think that would be an outstanding look. I really do.
Hey, Joby, remember a year or two ago you asked me how come you didn't have any friends? That's why, right there.
Yeah, you're right. All right, so I got to ask you, this Carmelo Anthony deal didn't happen. They did add a guy that you're very familiar with in Chris Paul. I know you were at the Hall of Fame ceremonies. You get to talk to a lot of people, but we had a couple questions with you on the Rockets. First and foremost, the deal that wasn't, is that okay that Melo's with the Thunder? And how does just having Chris Paul instead of Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony change the outlook on the season for the Rockets?
Well, personally speaking, I was hoping that Melo came.
Okay.
You know, because what you got to do now, obviously, everybody in the world is trying to compete with the Golden State Warriors. That's no secret. And if you're going to do that, you got to go stroke for stroke with them. And Melo, everybody talked about being an offensive player, but you've got to find a way to keep pressure on the Golden State Warriors offensively for the four quarters. And with Melo and Harden and Chris Paul, that would have been something to behold. Now, to answer your question, now that Melo is in OKC, I would love to see Chris Paul with the ball in his hands and James Harden going back to the two guard. You know, we talked about James Harden being MVP last year. I'm telling you, Chris Paul can make him that this year. This young man is a total package. But, Joe, as you know, everything has got to be situated around the team's chemistry. So right off the bat, they've got to figure out, and I shouldn't use this phrase, but they got to figure out whose team is it with the ball. Not whose team is it by talent, but who can make this thing really, really get off the snide. And Chris Paul is the total package. I'm telling you, he can make this whole thing work and work quick. They don't have to go through that every month looking at another combination. He's the kind of player that can make everybody get the best out of their ability.
That's great stuff, Murph. We could talk to you all day about everything basketball, but more so everything otherwise. But we appreciate you spending some time with us. You answered all the pertinent questions, especially the fact that you're going to be back on TV this year. But you know I love you, and you know that you're welcome here anytime, but we appreciate you spending some time for the listeners.
Well, thanks for having me, Joey, but don't forget, Dal, that suit is going to be for you, my brother.
Man, I got a lot of bad visuals right now.
God, that's
hey,
so
Murph,
good.
Don't pull out a romper on me either, because I don't want to see any of those rompers. That's not your style.
Peace and hair grease, my people.
Okay, buddy.
Bye-bye.
That's another so Murphism. Funny. Peace and hair grease. Calvin Murphy, the one and only. Love catching up with him. He is one great dude.
So we got so funny.
One segment left to go before we turn it over to Fred, AJ Jung, and the Blitz. So don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back on The Usual Suspects. One segment to go before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz.
AJ is such an instigator.
No,
it's a beautiful
question.
Thing.
Yeah, you learned a lot from him over the years.
What?
Barry is out tomorrow.
First of all,
so
he started
promised.
With me out in there, making me angry, and then he comes in and starts with you. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
though.
And
I'm
starting to understand and realize the patterns that. So I was on to him a little bit, but. Yeah, I even know in like regular everyday life, in passing AJ in halls and otherwise, what to do and what not to do now, because I know it could be material on the show in a heartbeat. So I'm actually getting smarter around here.
He told you at the break what they're going to discuss in their first segment.
Yep, and
I can tell you right now, you should
not tune in and listen to.
No,
it on the way
either
home.
Either don't listen or be like, yeah, I'll come and do the first segment. And address it with him head on so you can respond to it.
I like
Barry,
that idea.
This is exactly what I'm talking about with the instigator.
What are you talking about? I'm giving you good life advice,
if
Joel.
If there is a pot, you will stir. You are the ladle of life.
Nick has my back on this. He agrees. I'm being your PR person. I'm trying to help you cut this off at the path because it's going to happen whether you want it to or not. But at least you would be there to be able to respond.
So Barry's out tomorrow, and as we did with Nick when he was in Las Vegas, we make sure that the big three here get to make their picks regardless. So we felt with a game tonight, with college game tonight, and said through the weekend, the Nick picks will be a day early.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, because Barry is out, yep. We're going to do our picks one day early. Do you guys want to start with college or do you guys want to start with NFL?
I'm whatevs.
Me too. You pick it, Nick.
All right. We'll start with college.
All right. Okay.
All right, first game, both teams ranked, USC, Washington State. Washington State at home, plus 3.5 for Washington State. That's tomorrow at 9:30 on ESPN. Yeah,
good game on ESPN. I'm going USC.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised to see Washington State doing as well. I mean, a little bit surprised, but I'm going to still go USC. I think this is a team that might be able to turn things around and might be a little underrated for some folks, so I'll take USC.
Yeah, I think it's a fair line. Washington State is a decent team, but I just don't think they have enough against USC. So I'm going to go ahead and pick USC. All three of us have USC.
Okay.
All right. Second game: Georgia, Tennessee. Georgia ranked number 7. Tennessee unranked, plus 7.5 for Tennessee at home Saturday 2:30 on CBS.
Go, Barry.
I'm taking Georgia in this one.
I am as well. I think Tennessee's overmatched. Tennessee just is completely overrated, if that's possible, and underachieving. So I'm going to go Georgia.
I'm going to go with Georgia as well. We'll move on. Both teams are ranked. Mississippi State got their first loss. Auburn only has one loss. Auburn ranked number 13. Mississippi State ranked number 24. Minus 9 for Auburn at home.
I'm going Auburn.
Yeah, I am as well. Mississippi State's a great story. It's good to see them kind of coming out of nowhere and climbing up. They dropped 7 spots in the poll because of the loss to Georgia, which Georgia's a good football team to begin with. Mm-hmm. But it's good to see Mississippi State. But here it comes, the teeth of the SEC schedule for teams like Mississippi State and A&M and some of these teams. And you'll start to see them fall. And I think this is where it begins. So I'll take Auburn.
I'm going to go with the upset, man. Mississippi State, I like what Dan Mullen does. I think he's a real good coach in college football right now. I think he's going to have them ready. I'm going to go with the upset.
He does get teams ready. I'll tell you that much.
I'll tell you what, because they annihilated LSU.
Yeah.
But again, coming off a big win like that, there was a huge letdown last week. We'll see if they're for real or not this week.
All right, last college football game. Both teams ranked. Clemson number 2. Virginia Tech number 12. Plus 7.5 for Virginia Tech at home. ABC, Saturday, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, and with all those things being said, Clemson's defense is great. Their offense is better than average. The quarterback's not Deshaun Watson, but he gets it done. Clemson wins that game.
It's scary because this might if they win this game, they're probably going undefeated. This is the last big test schedule-wise that they have, with Florida State being down. Although Florida State will play them tough, no doubt. But this might be their biggest test remaining on the schedule. I still like Clemson over Virginia Tech. I think Clemson ends up making it to the national title as well as they've looked.
Clemson, I'll pick Clemson as well.
How about, by the way, odds of Clemson and SC both winning, 36%. Odds of Clemson, SC, and Georgia all winning, 22%. That seems kind of low.
I don't know. I mean, USC does have a ranked opponent, Clemson as well. So, we'll it's a ranked opponent.
All right, let's roll through NFL, Nick.
All right, we'll start with tonight's game, your Green Bay Packers at home at Lambeau Field.
You guys go ahead and pick this one.
Minus
you already know where I am.
7
yeah,
at home.
Since we're not doing the spread, you know where I'm at. So go ahead. You guys pick it.
I think it's kind of an easy game to pick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who
now,
would
keep
be
in
picking.
Line, keep in mind, both tackles are out for Rodgers on the offensive line again, and Mike Daniels out on the
Bears.
Defensive line. Bears are better than you think, but I would hope they better win this game.
Yeah.
So I think we're all picking the Packers, right?
Of course.
Yep. All right. We kind of touched on it a little bit, so I figured we'd get it out of the way. I was going to save it for last, but the game right here in Houston, Texans at home, plus 1.5 against the Titans. Remember, the Titans put 195 yards against a Seattle Seahawks rushing defense, which is really nice. That can be a product of the Seahawks just coming off to a slow start in the season, but usually that doesn't happen. So the Titans is a really scary team. Minus 1.5 for the Texans at home at NRG Stadium, Sunday at noon.
You just said remember the Titans, and I do. That's why, as big a game as this is, as important a game as this is for the Texans, I'm going to take the Houston Texans at home.
Are you really?
Yeah,
I had already wrote down Tennessee for you. I was leaning
Tennessee the whole time, but I feel like because they know how important it is, I think Watson's going to step up. Fuller does get come back, so it stretches the field a little bit. I'm going to take the Texans in an upset, I guess.
All right, I'm going Tennessee. I feel like this defense is it's better than maybe they're even getting credit for. It's an offense that can put up numbers.
I like this Tennessee team to win the division. I think this is a definite playoff team, and I think the Texans still have, even getting Fuller back, it's just not going to be enough against that defense.
I'm going to agree with Joel. I'm going to pick the Texans. I think they don't want to lose a second divisional game at home. That's just too much pressure to deal with. So I'm hoping that pressure will motivate them to perform. I'm going to pick the Texans.
Let's roll through the other ones real quick because we got to turn it over.
All right, Rams, Cowboys, -6 for the Cowboys at home.
Rams, Cowboys, I'll take the Cowboys.
All right, yep, I'm going Dallas as well.
I will go Dallas as well. And then lastly, no, two more. Yep. Raiders, Broncos, Broncos at home, -3.
I'm going to take, that's a good game.
Yeah, that is a good game.
I'm going to take Denver at home.
Last time I saw it, it was even. That'll tell you what I think Odd Shark, they had it as even. I'm taking Oakland on the road.
So am I. Okay. I think they're going to turn things around and get this win on the road. And then lastly, Redskins, Chiefs. Chiefs at home, -7 for Kansas City.
All you got to do is say Chiefs at home, and I'm a winner there. I'm going to take Kansas City.
Likewise.
Chiefs at home.
All right.
We do have some parity, though, in the NFL picks, so we'll see how that goes. So what are we doing on the standings? Are we...
Joel, you're 9-6. I'm 9-6. Nick is 6-9 in the NFL picks. College picks, Joel's running away with it at 9-3. I'm 6-6. Nick is 8-4.
Wow, but I took some chances this week, so we'll see how that goes. All right, it's Fred, it's AJ, it's John, it's The Blitz. Barry, have a great weekend. Good luck in Dallas. Lots of warm hugs and great bumps, and we'll see you on Monday.
Have a good show, boys.
Thank you, guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Right from Beaumont, by the way. So if you are in the Beaumont area, please do us a favor and stop by Luke's Ice House. We will be there to be broadcasting live down I-10 Way. And again, like I said, The Blitz is next. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, boy. Happy birthday, ESPN 97.5. We're 10. If you thought we were degenerates before, wait until we hit puberty.
Hold on to your butts.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.